Bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do when they drone for you? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Glad to be in the studio on a cold day. We had our warm spring already, and it happened in March. Now we're having our cold spring in April.
Welcome to weather in Ohio.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Chuck, you know, just like on our opening tease, people would recognize the lines from the theme song to the show Cops. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about cops. But if you noticed, I changed the wording just slightly. Bad boy, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they drone for you? Yes, Chuck, we're gonna be revisiting a topic that we've talked about here on the program before about the use of unmanned aerial surveillance systems or drone planes for law enforcement. As listeners who are familiar with our show or regulars know, we talked in the past about a situation up in North Dakota where a criminal was apprehended after police used a drone, an unmanned drone plane, to pinpoint his location on a property that was, shall we say, fairly sizable, and they arrested him. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, in the great spirit of Paul Harvey, we're about to tell you the rest of the story.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that that's copyrighted, so we're tipping our hat to Paul. Because that man who was arrested, by a gentleman by the name of Rodney Brossert, was arrested in the tiny town of Lakota, North Dakota. Well, what happened, and just to refresh your memory, Mr. Brossert owns a 3,000-acre farm. Okay? Pretty sizable place. Well, it was obviously must not have been fenced very well, Chuck, because sometime last year, six cows from a neighboring farm wandered onto the Brossert property, and Mr. Brossert decided that, well, if you're going to be on my property, I guess you will become my property, and he decided to keep the six cows. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for full disclosure, I've had that happen on my property. I live down in southern Ohio. I don't have nearly as many acres as Mr. Brossert, but I had our neighbor's cows come through a fence that they, well, an area that they refused to keep fenced adequately. And I woke up one Sunday morning getting ready for church and walk out the door to a large bull standing in my backyard snorting and huffing and making very, very aggressive noises. Needless to say, after we ended up having to call the, you know, the township, call the local sheriff, get everything, and get the guy over there to get his cows. Funny thing is, once we had a little talk, the fence got fixed. We haven't had the problem since then because the old adage is, good fences make good neighbors.
That's right.
And it's a good thing. But you see, Mr. Brossert decided that, well, you know what? They're on my property, and since it is my property, and these cows are on here, and I'm not sure where they've come from, and I don't know if that's his argument or not, but he just says, hey, we're going to keep the cows. So when the neighbor decided that, hey, I want my property back, and called the local sheriff, local law enforcement, and the police came to Mr. Brossert's property, well, they chased the law enforcement off their land with, what is in press articles are with high-powered rifles. Now, usually we have to be careful when we're quoting from the press, because to them, a .22 varmint gun is a high-powered rifle.
Yeah, .22 shorts.
22 shorts are high-powered rifles.
let's put it this way. Law enforcement could not have picked a better victim than this guy if they wanted to make an example, because he declares himself a quote-unquote sovereigntist, which means that he believes that he can declare himself sovereign from all other forms of government and run his little 3,000-acre kingdom.
Yes.
And by, if a cow wanders onto it from his neighbor's farm, he can declare that suddenly his property because he is quote unquote king of all he surveys. Well, okay.
Now, Chuck, I'm not sure I see anything totally wrong with that. No, but ladies and gentlemen, honestly, and our apologies to anybody out there who we may be offending by this, there are some people who take the whole idea of limited government a little too far and create the idea of no government at all except what I want to do for myself.
Well, okay. Just for those who are anarcho-libertarians, here is a case that shows what's wrong with anarcho-libertarianism.
Absolutely.
Now, the fact is those cows were somebody else's property. The amount of damage that you can claim they would have done by wandering onto this man's property, minimal.
Well, very, very minimal. I mean, unless these were like zombie cows from Hades who were going to go eat up everything he had on his property. But six cows are not going to do that.
Six cows might pull up some grass. If you've got some crops, they might pull up a little bit of it. In which case, you go to your neighbor and say, you know, you let the fence come down. The cows got in here and ate my crops. I'd like to be reimbursed for that. In which case, you negotiate with them. But you do it under the umbrella of the existing law.
Not the law you've made up in your own
head. Not the one you've made up. So what we have here is the same case that we talked about on Saturday, if you'll recall.
Yes.
The language that we used, if you start a journey of 10,000 miles with an inaccurate compass, you're going to end up in the wrong destination. And unfortunately, this Mr. Brossert
was a few compass points off true.
He has a few, more than a few, I think.
Well, okay, folks, here's what happened. So they run off the sheriff with high-powered rifles, supposedly. 16 hours of a standoff later, and he and two of his family members, it's a 3,000-acre property. Well, obviously, they're not going to sit in the house, and so they took off and they hid somewhere on the property to avoid police coming in and arresting them for, well, basically a number of things, and we'll tell you what those are. But the Grand Forks Police Department SWAT team got involved. They worked with and called Homeland Security, and Homeland Security gave them the ability to use an unmanned drone plane with a camera on it. So they found him out, figured out where he was on the ranch. A SWAT team stormed in, arrested him, and these are the charges. Terrorizing a sheriff. Theft. Okay, great. We got the theft. Criminal mischief and other charges, which probably is going to be a myriad of things.
Weapons charges and all kinds of stuff.
Well, you see, but the point is, we asked the question, what you going to do when they drone for you? Well, Mr. Brossert's giving us the answer, because now that he's found out, after his arrest, that he was a victim of droning, we're going to start using that adjective, Chuck, they were droned.
Yes, they were droned.
They were droned. He says, we're not laying over here playing dead on it. He's scheduled to appear in court at the end of this month on the 30th. And he thinks that what the SWAT team did was illegal, so they're filing some counter motions in court to try to get the courts to decide if the police can use drones to make arrests against potential criminals. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Brossert, I'm not sure I think you've got much of a legal leg to stand on here, because you are, even though you believe that you're a sovereign citizen and the laws don't apply to you, the big problem is Congress has a whole different idea about that, and they'd already passed a law that by May the 14th of this year, law enforcement agencies, both local and state agencies, can now use and buy for themselves, because the government has to give them permits to do so, unmanned aerial reconnaissance or drone planes. Now, we've talked in the past about what these drones might have on them.
Right.
You know, we have cameras, maybe heat seekers, you know, heat sensitive infrared or something of that nature. Well, some of these that you and I have looked at could also have weaponry on them, Charles.
Oh, sure.
Anything from, you know, grenade launchers to small rockets to guns.
Well, I mean, you could easily set one of these up with anti-tank weaponry. There's all kinds of stuff. 20-millimeter cannon. There's no reason why a drone can't carry a 20-millimeter cannon, a recoilless cannon. Gosh, there's all kinds of things you can imagine that these things could be armed with, which can be either good or bad. Now, one of the objections that I might have to this is the fact that, first of all, Grand Forks, North Dakota has a SWAT team.
Yes. Well, you know, I think SWAT teams have become the new fad among local law enforcement agencies. Everybody wants one.
Because
they all think they look good in black, and it's a slimming color.
That's right. Well, if you'll recall, years ago, when we first started the Principled Policy blog, I wrote an article which I said that one of my first acts, if I were ever elected mayor of a major city, would be to require the SWAT team to paint everything pink and have all their uniforms converted to pink. You wouldn't see the guys who like the black. They like the black because it's a pirate color. And the reason the pirates like black was because it was scary.
It's a psychological advantage.
Those guys in pink, and there's just the testosterone overdose cops really aren't going to want to have to don their pink gear and get in their pink armored personnel carriers and go out to a situation. it would deaden that. But that being as it may, my real objection to this is probably the fact that they borrowed equipment from the federal government when this was not a federal case.
Well, that's true. It wasn't. There wasn't any kind of interstate fleeing by a felon. I'm sure that the six cows in total didn't come up to $50,000 in value, which could kick it up to a federal felony level. And honestly, hey, you know what? If the Grand Forks, North Dakota police force can afford a SWAT team, they can afford to pay a little bit of overtime to get more than a few guys to go out and do what we do when we go hunting, which is form a line to beat them out. You know, just walk the property.
Yeah.
You could have found these guys. And okay, so maybe he did have a high-powered rifle. Okay. Did he shoot at you? That's unclear in this. Maybe the guy just said, listen, get off my property. You have no right to be here. 3,000 acres later, and what we don't know, and honestly, we're not going to speculate too far on this, is that this may not have been the first time that his neighbor allowed his livestock to come on over and have a free graze on the Brossard properties.
Well, knowing what we know about the idea of rangeland in the West, very often the idea about property boundaries is a little loose.
It's a little vague. It's a little vague, that's for sure. But the key is that Mr. Brossard has filed two motions with the court to basically get the courts to rule. Now, and again, Chuck, this is the first time in our country that the courts have had to face this particular challenge, because this is the first time anywhere that federal equipment, such as these drones, have been used at a state level to go after a local criminal and have played a part in this issue. So the courts are going to have to make a decision to find out, okay, is this something that we're getting into some very dangerous and murky waters in, or is it just, hey, well, you know, it's just another tool to help law enforcement do their job?
Well, I think probably if you're going to follow the spirit of the law, there should be a federal or a state court order required to do this kind of surveillance. The idea that the cops can just simply call out a drone to come out and do surveillance on you with on their own whim disturbs me. And it also disturbs me that in the current era of case law, deciding how the Constitution is to be interpreted, and often state constitutions to be interpreted as well, I'm a little disturbed over the idea that this kind of an outlier case with what amounts to a fringe person who has violated the law or is alleged to have violated the law is someone who we're going to make case law on.
It's a dangerous precedent, but it's interesting because the state's attorney, a gentleman by the name of Douglas Manbeck, basically, his defense of this whole thing, Chuck, leaves a lot to be desired constitutionally. He says, well, the alleged crimes, remember that word, alleged crimes, were already committed long before a drone was even thought of being used. Okay? He said it was only used to help assure there weren't weapons. Wait a minute, I thought they said that he had a high-powered rifle and he threatened law enforcement. I guess they might have known that there might have already been weapons. And to make the arrest safer for both the Bossarts and law enforcement. Okay, that's great, but honestly, what happens to your Fourth Amendment rights? What happens to your First Amendment rights? What happens to a whole list of rights he has because he's on his own property? I got a suggestion. If the law enforcement had to go back and contact Homeland Security and get authorization and go out and do all this stuff for 16 hours, couldn't they just have easily kind of gone over, found the cows, rounded them up, put them all back over on the property of the person who owns them, and say, hey, let's get a temporary fence put up here, and then just basically send Bossert the bill for it?
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it. Another thing is that we've gotten into this situation now where the police have to be in control of everything. And that's not necessarily the way it was pre-9/11. The police would have been sort of, let's see what we can work out on the, okay, this guy's a whack job. Let's see what we can work out by getting the cows back in there, getting the guy to fix his fence, the neighbor to fix his fence. And if this guy then objects further, then we'll take that where it goes. Instead, now we've got to be in control of the situation from beginning to end.
So what you're saying is the old adage about the police to protect and to serve has now become to prohibit and to control.
Well, that's what it looks like. Now, unfortunately, we're going to have to bring this to an end because, as always, when we get interesting, We're out of time.
We're going to talk about some other things regarding these drones on tomorrow's program, because there's a lot more to delve into about this whole issue.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.